The Juice on the Cuse podcast is presented by Bet Online, your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BELIEV. Bet online, the game starts here. It is another edition of the Juice on the Cuse podcast here on the Believe in Rivals Network's Wes Chang alongside my longtime colleague Brad Bierman. Thank you as always for joining us on this Tuesday, June 18th, 2024. We've got plenty to talk about on today's show as we finish up another weekend of official visits. And we begin today with two commitments. Let's start with 2025 edge Quante Gillens from Rochester, New York. He announced his commitment to Syracuse on Sunday. Gillens committed to Syracuse over offers from Michigan State, Pittsburgh, and Boston College, among others. Brad, you've done your homework on him. What's your assessment of him on the tape?
I certainly think, Wes, this type of player is the epitome of what Fran Brown is looking to do from a recruiting standpoint at Syracuse, because he plays at a school that's a perennial New York State power scholastically. We've heard Fran Brown mentioning about building that wall and keeping the best players in New York State at home. It's only about an hour and change away from the JMA Wireless Dome where he plays. His high school coach is a former Syracuse Orange player. Doesn't get any better than that from a legacy standpoint. So that you know the top players at Aquinas are going to be looking at Syracuse at some point in their recruitment, depending on whether or not they want to, you know, play college football away out of New York State or stay close to home. So he's a great player on the field, 6'4", 240. And I think we've talked about it before, Wes, during the last several months of Fran Brown's recruiting prowess and making sure that, you know, the stars on each side of the ball. You know, I think in football today, certainly the quarterback, it's always been that way. But defensively, you can't have enough rushers. You can't have enough people along the defensive front to play havoc with the opponent's offense. And you know, we saw that with Diggs and McCord coming in as the big highlight names in Fran Brown's first season. And I think you're going to see the coaching staff replicate that in the future classes. There's going to be a lot of top quarterbacks. The quarterback room is going to have athletic ability that we haven't seen in Syracuse football in the 2000s. And you're also going to see that defensively, the type of athlete, the quickness. And I just think that, you know, Gillens, you know, fits that mode there, and bring more of them along the way, down the throughway to the program, because this is a player that with strength, conditioning, nutrition, help academically and such, is going to develop into a great player for the Orange.
And Brad, Gillen's not the only commit recently. On Monday, Syracuse picking up a commitment from three-star defensive back Rayshon Andrews from Avon Old Farms in Connecticut. He selects the Orange over offers from Boston College, Akron, and Bowling Green, among others. So Syracuse stays hot on the recruiting trail with two of those. And a couple other notes I have from you from the official visitors over the weekend. CJ May, a former Notre Dame edge commit, took his official visit to Syracuse over the weekend. He really liked what he saw, and he's planning on announcing a top four later this month. Syracuse is almost certainly going to be ahead of that in the announcement in July. And then Sebastian Broughton, a 2025 quarterback, he also took an official visit. He received an offer from the Orange during that visit. He is a top four of Syracuse, Kansas State, Tulane, and Akron. He tells the Juice Online he's going to finish up his OV schedule to Akron this week, and he plans on making a decision at the end of this month. So plenty going on from this weekend as we creep toward the beginning of the football season. And speaking of which, Brad, we're about a month away from ACC kickoff from July 22 to 25 in Charlotte. What are you looking for from Syracuse there?
First things first, Wes, it's going to be a long event. The ACC's caught up to the SEC and extending the football summer event, the kickoff event, now to 4 days with the addition of the three schools to the conference, bumping ACC football up to 17. And that's going to be, as you mentioned, upcoming in a couple of weeks, July 22nd through the 25th in Uptown Charlotte. And what I'm going to see is a couple of topics that usually seem to come up at these events. And when you look at the schedule, day one, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, and then Florida State, Georgia Tech, and SMU. So day one certainly going to be interesting because Phillips is going to be addressing a multitude of events. And right at the top, I can think of the lawsuit with FSU and Clemson, and then Florida State follows. It certainly was awkward between Florida State contingent and the rest of the conference during the spring meetings a couple weeks back in Florida. Can't see how it's not going to continue to be somewhat awkward moving forward until this is finally resolved. So I think that's going to be interesting right off the bat from day one. Also SMU, one of the new teams and highly thought of by some media members heading into the season from a preseason prediction standpoint. Then five teams on days two and three. So it's really going to be jammed up for the media covering these events. And Syracuse on the final day, along with the two home North Carolina teams, UNC and NC State. So that should be interesting from that standpoint that day, along with Clemson. And then the media attention, I expect, Wes, with Fran Brown, is talking about what his expectations are, what his building blocks are, the plan he's put in place for building Syracuse football to be a national contender. And that, certainly that day, the final day of the event, I see that as being one of the main stories that the media that doesn't cover Syracuse on a regular basis will be focusing on.
Yeah, Brad, I'm curious to see where Syracuse gets voted in the preseason ACC polls. If history is any indicator, Syracuse is probably going to be near the bottom. But keep in mind, this is one of the most forgiving ACC schedules we've seen Syracuse play in, at least recently. They avoid Florida State. They avoid Clemson. They get to play Stanford and Cal, two of the weaker teams entering the ACC from the Pac-12. So with all the recruiting momentum and talent they've added, maybe this resets the thinking around Syracuse a little bit before ACC kickoff. We're going to take a quick break. We will be joined by Syracuse football alum Alvin Brown after this is the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. One of the biggest additions of the 2024 class after Fran Brown arrived was the addition of three-star linebacker Caden Brown from Erasmus Hall in Brooklyn. His father, Alvin, of course, played at Syracuse in the late 80s and is a coach at Erasmus now. We are thrilled to welcome him on the program. Coach Brown, thanks for your time. How are you today?
How's everything going, Wes?
Yeah, great, Coach. I want to get you started on this one. You played during a golden period of Syracuse football in the late 80s, one of the strongest linebackers I've ever seen. Do you have a favorite memory from your time at the Hill?
Last time I was up there about two, 3 weeks ago when they had a Marcus Paul event. I don't know if you're aware of Marcus Paul. Marcus Paul was a strong safety for us, and he was working for the Dallas Cowboys as a strength conditioning coach. And he had an aneurysm, and he passed away. And so for the last couple of years, they've been having...
My condolences, Coach.
Yeah. Now, he was a great guy. He was a captain of the 87 team. He was a very great guy, his family as well. But they have a golf outing, and they have, like, a whole event that they have once a year. I believe this is, like, the third year they had it, and this was the first time I was able to come. So back... in the 80s, we had a strength and conditioning coach. His name was Mike Wolchik, and he was a longtime Dallas Cowboys strength and conditioning coach as well. And it's funny because Coach Fran came down, to speak to the alumni and, just to say a couple of words. And it just happens to be, this is the first time I've seen Mike since I graduated from Syracuse in 1990. So it's been some years, and we was just talking. And so I told Coach Fran a brief story. So Mike Wolchik, our strength and conditioning coach, he used to do, like, very unique things to get us faster and stronger. And like you mentioned, I was one of the stronger linebackers, but I struggled, with my speed. I did not have elite speed, which my son has. I wish I had. But – So what he used to do to make us faster, and nobody was doing this at the time. When I tell you, you're going to say, yeah, okay, it makes sense, but nobody was doing this. And so he used to take, if you know what the weight belt that gives you support in your back, we used to, two people would put on the weight belt, and he got this stuff that was called surgical tubing. It was basically like rubber bands because they didn't sell those back then. And he would get them about maybe 10 foot long and tie them together. And he would stretch us out to about, let's say, 50 yards. So you would run the 40-yard dash, you know, with a pull. So it's pulling you. So your legs would turn over faster, and you would get acclimated to running faster. So first he would start off with a 50-yard pull, then a 40-yard pull, you know, and then, like, every week he would slightly lessen it. And then by the time you ran the 40-yard dash, you ran a faster time, so you got faster. So I was just telling that brief story to Coach Fran, because I was telling him this is one of the greatest strength and conditioning coaches I've ever known. And obviously he was, because he worked for the Dallas Cowboys for a long time, you know, after his tenure at Syracuse. So, you know, that's just a little story that stood out to me, conversation that I had with Fran. I speak with Fran. I try not to talk to him too much because I know he has a lot on his plate. But whenever I come up there, you know, always have a couple of words. He always tells me how my son's doing. And, you know, he's doing a great job.
So part of what Coach Brown has done is revolutionize recruiting, and that includes signing one of the top New York recruits in the 2024 class in your son, Caden. What is it like seeing your son there, and what is it like seeing Syracuse back on the map with recruiting?
Well, it's no surprise that Coach Fran is doing a great job, you know, recruiting. And, you know, for a while, everybody used to say, you know, you can't get, you know, big name, big time recruits to come up to Syracuse. And, you know, he's been able to do that. But what I think is even more impressive, if you've really been paying attention to what he's been doing, he's grabbing kids that nobody knows about. Some of them don't have any stars. And after he grabs them, then next thing you know, you turn around, you'll see a Penn State or a Rutgers. Now they want to recruit him. So he knows exactly what he wants, and he knows it when he sees it. And he's not paying attention to the stars. You know, him and his staff, they're just going around. And, you know, when they visualize what the traits that they're looking for, they're just recruiting these kids. And I think that's what you have to do at a school like Syracuse, at least where we're at the time. You know, it's tough to chase all these big name kids that are coming out of high school now. There's a lot of diamonds in the rough in our area because New York State as a whole is under-recruited, I believe. And, you know, and it's obviously, and New York has a pretty big population. So just on the sheer, you know, numbers game, you know, we're going to have good football players. You just have to know where to find them. And he knows where to find them in New Jersey, obviously. And I think he's learning where to find them in New York. So I think he has the right formula that's going to work for Syracuse.
Again, Coach, you played at Syracuse. You coach at one of the top programs in New York. You know talent when you see it. How do you see the next 4 years playing out for your son at Syracuse?
However it plays out, I'm going to be happy. First of all, it's a really great feeling to have him, you know, kind of following my footsteps and go to Syracuse University. You know, I love the university so much. I've met, you know, so many great friends and created so many great relationships, you know, just through going to the school. We're not just talking about football, just the university as itself. I have, you know, lifelong friends that, you know, from going to the school. And then to have all these friends, you know, to support my son and, you know, just support the notion that, you know, he's going there. And just like we do with each other, there's plenty of alumni that, you know, have now their kids are going to Syracuse. And it's a great feeling. And, it's a little surreal, you know. I'm super happy about it. I don't know if my son grasps I don't know if he has the same outlook on it right now, but I think he will at some point. But to go back to your original question about his recruitment, you know, his recruitment had went very well, and I had liked Coach Babers. Syracuse, had offered him when Coach Babers was there. And, it had to be his decision. And so, you know, he was considering Syracuse, you know, but he had a couple other schools also on his radar. But when Coach Fran came there, he had a relationship with Coach Fran from when he was recruiting at Georgia. Coach Fran had came down to Erasmus Hall in Brooklyn and has spoken to Caden a few times before he became the head coach at Syracuse University. So there was already a connection there. And so it made the transition, just the whole process, it moved rather quickly, you know, once Coach Fran, you know, got the head coaching job. So, you know, I was super happy. And so far, everything has worked out great. So Caden was a defensive end. And, yeah, right now he's playing a bit more inside linebacker. So he's just making the adjustment. I'm trying to, you know, help him with that transition over the inside linebacker. And, you know, I don't know if they, you know, if the plan is to keep him inside or if he's going to play a little bit on the edge. But, you know, right now his main position is linebacker. So, you know, this summer he's up in Syracuse, you know, trying to, you know, work with the coaches and get that part of the game so that, you know, he can be, you know, a productive player on the team sooner rather than later.
So, Coach, for those listening who haven't been following along with your career after you left Syracuse, you're coaching at Erasmus Hall, which is a New York powerhouse in football. How do you like that, and what's the outlook for Erasmus this upcoming season?
Coaching at Erasmus Hall has been fantastic. There's a lot of great coaches there that I've actually learned from. And I love working with young men and helping them become better football players and better people in general. And there's a lot of really good kids over there. They're just like sponges. They can't wait to learn, and they're very attentive. And I have a very good relationship with them, especially, you know, being the dad of Caden Brown. So, you know, and a lot of them know that I played for Syracuse. So it kind of helps a little bit when you're trying to teach them and instruct them, because, you know, they know that, you know, you've kind of been through a similar situation, especially me being a person who, you know, grew up in New York City and was able to play Division I football. So, yeah, it's great for me to give back to the kids, and I enjoy it. Just like I'm continuing to coach there, and we're going to have a pretty great season. I believe we got a lot of new young people there that we're working on, and this football season is going to be so incredible for myself, because between all the great games that we're going to have at Erasmus Hall and following my alma mater and watching my son play, and not only that, watching all the other kids that came out of Erasmus Hall that's playing Division I football, you know, we have kids playing at all different schools. So, you know, watching football on a Saturday, Friday or Saturday, it kind of takes different meaning when you're watching kids and, you know them personally, or you coach them, or they're friends, or even a rival that you played against. So it's going to be a very exciting football season. I can't wait.
Coach, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. I appreciate you giving me the time.
Alban Brown, ladies and gentlemen, a three-year letter winner from Syracuse from 1987 to 89. In the 1989 season, he finished with 31 tackles and 1.5 sacks. And of course, we're certainly looking forward to seeing what his son Caden can do at the Hill. We will take a quick break and wrap things up here on the other side. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
Welcome back to the Juice on the Cuse podcast from the Rivals.com and Believe Networks. Along with my longtime colleague, Wes Chang, I'm Brad Bierman. And Wes, as we go into the summer and the Syracuse basketball team, believe it or not, will be beginning summer workouts in a couple of weeks as the second semester gets underway before practice begins wholeheartedly at the end of September. The schedule continues to get filled out, and one of the teams at Syracuse is thought to be perhaps setting up a game with for the upcoming season is Crosstown School Lemoyne, as the Dolphins are entering their second year as an NCAA Division I member. And very interesting, Wes, Syracuse and Lemoyne have, of course, some history besides the great upset in the exhibition game in 2009, which Jim Boeheim played man-to-man, and that resulted in the Dolphins stunning SU 82-79. The teams have played six other games in the regular season, so a regular season game against Lemoyne would certainly be nothing new going back to 1977. And actually, the Dolphins were the home team for one of those games. That's right, Wes. Syracuse was a road team about a mile or two, mile and a half from the Dome, or actually that was Manly Fieldhouse at the time, 2 miles from campus, when they played the Dolphins in February of 79 at the Onondaga County War Memorial, and Syracuse cruised in that game to an easy victory. So Syracuse and Lemoyne may be back on the schedule on a regular basis, and I think that would be great for both schools and the city of Syracuse to play each year.
Brad, it's hard to imagine Syracuse being a road team against Lemoyne, but a great piece of history there going back to the 1979 season. And Brad, I did want to mention, speaking of basketball, O'Shea Brissett and the Boston Celtics winning on Monday night over the Dallas Mavericks to capture the NBA championship in five games. Brissett was a bit of a bit player for the Celtics this season, but he did appear in three of the five games in the NBA Finals, including 7 points in 15 minutes in Game 4. Always great seeing Syracuse alum doing well, and congratulations to O'Shea. That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cues podcast presented by Bet Online and Believe, and we'll see you next time.